today, April 3rd, 2006, we're talking to Sean Wendt at Wendt's on the Lake. And he's got a lot of stories to tell us.
Yeah.
So we'll start with, give us a background of your family, Sean. I already talked to your mom and dad, but go ahead and do it again and we'll take it from there.
Well, I'm the son of Mike and Linda Wendt, and I was basically born and raised right here in the restaurant here at Wendt's on the Lake. And Fritz and Cynth are my grandma and grandpa. Fritz Wendt and Cynth Wendt are my grandma and grandpa. And they started the place here back in 1962.
How long have you worked here then?
I've worked here, I started doing the bottle shoot and filling coolers when I was about 6-7 years old.
You've been in the tavern and restaurant business a long time.
Yes, I have.
You've got the reputation of putting out a lot of effort in the sturgeon spearing. Tell me about how you got into it and how it grew up to where it is right now.
Well, I started, like I said, doing stuff around here and helping my parents out, doing whatever they needed me to do in the restaurant here. And then my Uncle Doug used to take me fishing and everything, and he's the one who actually got me out there sturgeon spearing when I turned 14. And my grandpa, I always rode along with him when he set up his renters and stuff. I always was in the truck with him, and my parents would let me go out there with him and travel around. So I got to see a lot from the get-go.
Did that get you into the sturgeon rental shack business then?
Yes, eventually I did take over the rental. But like I say, when I went with my grandpa, I rode around with him. And before I was legal to spear, when I was 13 years old, 1982, 82 it was, I seen three fish speared that year just going around with my grandpa. I seen my grandpa spear his that year. And I also seen a renter. We walked into Shanny and Grandpa was explaining how, you know, the renter asked how to throw the spear, and Grandpa said put it crossways over the fish and then you just give it a kind of little shove when they come into the hole. If they're coming at you, you obviously don't want to move, you know, and until the eyes, you know, they're always looking up at you. And he was explaining that to him, and all of a sudden, just like that, one came into the hole. And Grandpa said, okay, now you got to take the spear and put it crossways over the fish. And I was watching right over, you know, sinking through between their legs. And the guy threw it and got one, you know. And yeah. So like I said, the renter, he speared that fish, and that was the second one I seen speared.
Pumpkin's dad, Bud, Gary the Sheriff, and Bud Pucker is an old-time spearer, too.
There you go.
Okay.
And Grandpa and I, we got back in a truck, and then we went to, my cousin was coming out, and we moved a shanty, and we sawed it in, and help him get it moved over the hole, and we banking it up. And my cousin, she went in the shanty, and I walked in there with her, and the door was still open. We didn't even have the chairs in yet, and we were finishing banking yet, and she went like that. I heard her go, and my grandpa and I both ran in there, and she had the spear in her hand, and a fish came right under her feet. And like I said, I was sticking my head through there again, and she was just ready to spear it, and my grandpa grabbed the spear out of her hand. And he threw it himself and got it. So that was like the third fish I seen that year before I was even legal to spear.
Wow.
So that was pretty exciting. I was hooked for life then.
So when did you sit in the shack by yourself, and how old were you when you started that?
Well, 14 years old is when you could start spearing, and I sat, that was days when you sat all day long from dark to dark, and my grandpa would drop me off at a shanty in the morning before he set up his renters. And I'd sit there all day by myself looking down. And that year was very dirty, the first year I could spear. I mean, but good thing I had seen three fish speared the year before. That helped me sit there longer and wait them out, you know. But I never did spear the fish the first year I was able to spear, because the water, you could only see like 3 feet below the ice that year.
So what was it like going on in years after that when you got the big one?
Well, the next year, when I was 15 years old, is I went to church on that Sunday morning. I believe it was opening weekend, and I went to church, and my Uncle Doug had set up a shanty for me. And as soon as I got home from church, I was only 15 years old, but I would learn to drive a truck out on the ice, so I took off in the truck and went out to the shanty, and Uncle Doug had the shanty all ready for me. I sat in there, and I wasn't in the shanty 10 minutes, 15 minutes right out of church, and this 58-pounder came right off the corner, upper left-hand side, and came through, and I waited till he got under the spear and speared him, and you know, it was...
just like Grandpa told
you. Yeah, exactly, just like he said. And I was so excited, and I wasn't old enough to drive, but I was so excited, I threw the fish in the back of the truck, and was coming in to register the fish, and DNR pulled me over. And they wanted to check my license and check everything, and here I wasn't even old enough to drive, and I was more scared about that than the fish or anything, because I wasn't legal to drive. I thought they were going to get me for that. But I ended up, they just checked me and everything, and I drove in the rest of the way and registered it.
Did you have to tag them back then?
Yes, yes. I believe it was the metal tags, yeah.
Metal
tags? Yep, yep.
Do you have any of those little metal tags?
I might have some laying around in the drawers or something.
It'd be nice if the museum could.
There's some old metal tags. I'm sure some we could find some from some gentleman around.
You told me earlier that you had a lot of stories with your renters.
Oh, yes.
Shack renters.
Yeah, I have one story that sticks in my mind. Had a bunch of guys from Illinois come out, and I took them out to the shack and set them all up. And everything, I was, after the night, there's always ice skims over the hole, obviously, you know, and I always, when I open the door, I always grab the tank out and walk around the shanty and hook up the tank first, and then I come back in and light the stove. Well, I was going around the shanty, and I was hooking up the tank, and all of a sudden I heard splashing and yelling and screaming, and I went running around the shanty, and here's a guy in the hole, he just climbing out of the hole. He thought he could stand on that little skimmed ice that was sitting in there, and I had opened the holes already, and he stood on that ice and fell right in. And like, oh, geez, yeah, you can't stand on that, you know, that just froze over from last night, you know. And they had some snowmobiles and stuff that day, so, well, I went, set up the rest of my renters, and I came back and check on them, because I always check on the renters during the day, and I came back to check on them, I walk into the shanty, I open the door, guys, everything all right? And I open the shanty, and they had two stringers across the shanty, and there was clothes hanging all over the place, drying. And I said, what happened? I said, did somebody else fall in? And he said, yeah, one of the guys was coming back in the door, and he tripped, and he went head first right into the hole. So they had two guys soaking wet. So they had clothes hanging all across. They had lines hung up and with clothes hanging all over the place, drying. And I'm sitting there, well, I said, where's your other buddy with the snowmobile? And they said, we don't know where he is. They said, he took off this morning when we first got here, and we haven't seen him since. And I'm like, holy cow, you know. And so I went back checking on, you know, the other renters and stuff, and it came to the end of the day, and I went back to the shanty, and I'm like, guys, you ready to go in? And I noticed that the guy still wasn't back, that we had the snowmobile, and I'm like, the guy still didn't come back, your buddy? And they go, no, we don't know where he is. He never came back, you know. So we brought him in and everything, and all of a sudden we got a call from the sheriff's department, and here this guy was way up by High Cliff on the other end of the lake. He was lost way up there in the sheriff's department. I said, yeah, his buddies are here and everything, and they brought him all the way around the lake in the cop car. And so that was quite the crew that day with the renters. Yeah, it's gone.
Over the years, I've heard a lot of stories about guys when there were cloudy water, or the coax the sturgeon, and they would throw things in the hole. You ever hear stuff like that over the bar talk or stuff like that?
Oh yes, there's guys that do chumming. Like I said, my grandpa, years ago, we always had dead minnows. We used to sell minnows out of the place here, and always the dead ones we'd always save and put in pails, and we used to take them out. Grandpa did, and before we get ready, you know, before the season would start, we'd know areas that we usually fish, and we'd dump minnows, the dead ones, down the hole, you know, and chum them. Hopefully the sturgeon would be there when the season came around.
Did it work?
Well, I believe so. We got sturgeon. also, I know some guys, my friends, that they used to take a big metal, like a decoy, he'd hang from the bottom of his regular decoy, and he used to put dog food in there. And he swears by that works. Hanging dog food down in the hole below his regular decoy, he'd have a pipe in there with dog food stuffed in it.
I've heard things like potatoes, but mostly that was for reflection.
That was for, so you could see the bottom, yeah. They used to slice off potatoes, and you could see the bottom when it was clear here.
You have a favorite type of decoy?
Basically, I mean, everybody talks about their favorite decoy. I move around from shanty to shanty. I never really sit in the same shanty because I have so many of them, and I have a different decoy in every shanty, and I can't find one that's really a hot one. I mean, I've speared in, you know, enough fish that I think whatever you got down there, they're so curious they're going to come to check out.
It's just the attractant.
Right.
What's a procedure like your effort in the start of a day or the start of putting in shanties? What kind of work do you go through to get established?
First of all, it takes a couple months to get everybody lined up. You know, you're calling them and back and forth on the phone, you know, talking and trying to get everybody lined up before the season even gets here. Booking everybody, and then once it does get here, I have them here at like 5:15 in the morning. I have everybody meet here at the restaurant, and we check everybody in, and once we get everybody in, then I tell them which vehicle I got and follow me out, and they're usually a pretty good line following me all the way out to the shanties, and usually have my dad helping me out, and we usually go out ahead of time before the guys even get here. We'll go out like 2-3 in the morning and get the heaters on and get the ice out, skimmed off the holes and get the heaters turned on and get them, you know, so when we take them out there, all they got to do is walk in the shanty, it's nice and heated and it's ready to roll, you know, and skim the ice is all off the holes, and all they got to do is put their decoys down and they're ready to spear.
How many shanties you put out the average year?
This year I had 17 shanties that I rented out total, that between my cousins and I, and we had 17 that we rented, my uncle.
Well, how much you get a day for a shanty on the average?
For a single hole shanty it's $100 a day, and for a double holer it's $200 a day.
Double holer, that means you got a extra big shanty with a hole on each end?
Yeah, my double holers are like 7x14 and they have a hole on each end, and then I have couple of them that are bigger, 7x16 and 7x18, and a couple of them are, the holes run along the whole length of the shanty.
You have, does that supply the heat and the atmosphere?
Everything's included. All they got to bring is their food and drink. Everything's in there.
Well, how many years have you been doing that now?
Well, I kind of got into it after Grandpa got out of it, and my Uncle Doug had taken it over more so from Grandpa, and I just kind of added some shanties in there, and Uncle Doug used to take care of the reservations and stuff, and since the short season, when it dropped down to with the quota and everything in the short season, a lot of the guys got out of the renting, and I stayed in it. I'm one of the few that do rent shanties now because of the shortness of the season. A lot of guys don't want to deal with it because they want to go and spear themselves, you know. And I feel that I'd rather see people get fish, and I like to see more other people get fish before myself.
Do you ever have any rescue efforts of guys dropping in?
Every year we have some type of challenge. Every year is different. We thought there was going to be a lot this year, but it was really nice. Everybody used their head this year. But there was years back, there was like 2 years in a row in the 90s that I pulled out 26 vehicles one year and like 28 vehicles another year. We have, the West Shore Fishing Club has a boom trucks that we go out there with if it's in the shallow water. If it's over my head, I won't go in, but I do have a dry suit that I put on, and I get in the water and hook up the vehicles and that if I have to. And but yeah, 2 years in a row there, it was pretty bad about up here by the islands and that, and their vehicles dropping through and that. We try to mark it the best we can, and we usually lay down trees when it's a bad spot, And if the trees are standing up, it's all right. We mark out roads, West Shore Fishing Club, 3 miles straight out of Wentz here, and then we mark out a road 3 miles northeast of Wentz. We mark two roads, and then we put bridges across the cracks wherever they're needed and try to help the fishermen out.
It's a lot of work to just to prepare for, if it's only going to be a three-day season.
It's a lot of work, yes. Yep.
What's the most exciting thing you think you can remember over the years?
Most exciting experience, huh? Well, like I said, every year is different, and it seems like, I mean, I just look forward to starting spearing, and a lot of guys do. That's why everybody gets so pumped up that, you know, I mean, I don't care if it's your first sturgeon or your last sturgeon, your spear, every fish you spear is just like the first one. To think of one big experience, I would say one of the really coolest things that I ever did was catch a sturgeon on hook and line through the ice when you couldn't see very good. There was a year back, I'm sure you can remember that, when you couldn't see very good, and they were catching a lot of them on hook and line. And I mean, I fought a 45-inch fish that I fought for over an hour and a half on like 6-pound tests, and I thought that was really fun catching them on hook and line.
Set line too?
I used to, years ago with Grandpa, I used to set line for catfish. Him and I used to be partners set line, go out every day and check them. But we never did get a sturgeon on it. It was always catfish or walleyes we had on it, you know, and bullheads, you know, and stuff like that. A few perch here and there, but we never did get a sturgeon that I can remember, carp. But
your experience pretty much has been around the islands and in the reefs around the islands here?
Sure. Well, if we try to follow the sturgeon too, I move my shanties wherever it's hot. You know, I try to get out on my own and find a hot spot, and then I'll move my shanties. Once I find something, I'll go out by myself and look for a new area. And
what do you mean a hot spot?
Well, I look for, first of all, the ice conditions, wherever the ice conditions are good. And once I find that, then I go and look for clear water. I'd rather sit where there's clear water than sit in dirty water. So I try to find the clearest water, and then we set up there. And actually, you know, your past experiences with areas, if there's good, you know, good areas from other years, I try to go to them spots first if it's clear there. But otherwise, I try to find the clear water, and once we establish that, then we set up, and then we go from there if we get sturgeon there. Otherwise, we go find another spot, look for another clear spot.
So you really don't have a honey hole?
No, I mean, I have several of them from the past that I'll go check out first, you know, but if those aren't opting, then I'll go to another spot and check that out.
Do you prefer the mud or the rock or stone?
Well, I would prefer the mud because that's where the redworms are. I'd like to get in there if it's clear. But if it's not clear out there, then I'll go into the rocks, wherever I can clear, where there's clear water. The sturgeon, they're eventually going to swim across it.
So you've had best luck then in the mud where the redworms would be?
Yes, yes.
Who do you think's the best spearer you've met over your spearing experiences?
The best spearer? Jeez.
Don't tell me your grandpa.
Well, it's surprising how the lady luck, or my grandma, and has done in the past, and Rose Hartman, you've talked to her before. She is very lucky, you know, as far as luck concerned, and Patty Wagner and other women. It's surprisingly how the women are very lucky, and my sister Ann went. She's been lucky through the years. She's tell you stories too, you know, where she's speared them.
You think they're more patient than men?
Very well could be. We're on the go all the time. We got to go find another spot. So we set the women in the shanty, and my wife has speared several of them too. You know, I set her up and leave her by herself, and I go try to find another spot. And so I think that's why the women are so lucky. You know, they're sitting, we're not.
Do you have any special gear that you wear, or have good luck stuff that you go through, a ritual of some sort, or habits?
No, I really don't have nothing like that I do. I don't have no lucky clothing, I don't think. I mean, I always put on something that says Wentz, a Wentz sweatshirt or Wentz hat, you know. Advertising, right? I always got that on. So I feel that's lucky, I guess.
You have a special way you prepare your fish?
Well, I like fish, the sturgeon, anyway, cooked on the grill, deep fried, pan fried, smoked. I mean, any way you do sturgeon, if you cook it the right way, it's good anyway. I mean, on the grill and butter and seasoning and on a thing of tin foil, I mean, that works really good. Deep frying it, we do it in our bread. Anyway, smoked is very good too. The way I cook it, I don't have a problem with it. I don't think it's any different tasting when they're feeding on the redworms. But a lot of guys said that they taste a lot fishier when they're feeding on the shad, when they're full of shad, than more oily. Yeah, that's what people have said.
So you don't really have a special recipe then? That
no, nothing.
Marinate them in something or?
Well, we do have a way that we do prepare it before we cook it. Is we put it in eggs and milk and let the pieces soak in there overnight, and that seems to bring out some of the fishy taste, if there is some in there, before you cook it.
I imagine you met a lot of people over the years, characters and celebrities that come in your restaurant here.
Yes, there's been a few. Al Sampson, I don't know if you remember him. He used to come out here all the time. In fact, I have a walleye hanging on the wall there that I won third place in the Al Sampson fishing contest in the winter. And he was a good friend of ours. He always came out and did interviews out here. James Drury was out here, the actor. Colonel Sanders was out here. My sister and I, when we were little, we got pictures taken with him. He came to the bar here a couple times. Other than that, trying to think who else might have been out here. Maybe my mom can think of somebody else too.
When you think about the business as a businessman, if you have a 3-day season versus the one you had this year, which was 16 days, how does that affect you financially?
Well, you can't, the business doesn't rely on sturgeon spearing, because it is only one time of the year, especially the way the seasons have been going with the quota now and ending in 1 day, 2 days, you definitely can't rely on that. We have, throughout the whole year, we have other things going on and stuff, EAA and stuff like that, but I tell you, when you have a 16-day season, it sure is a nice bonus. It's a very nice bonus. Helps pay off other bills, different bills.
You take you're involved in other activities with sturgeon for tomorrow, or?
Yes, I belong to the Southwest chapter. I believe I've been treasurer now for 13 or 14 years now. Been treasurer, and I was on the committee I joined before I became treasurer a couple years before that, and we run the Southwest chapter out of Fond du Lac at the Holiday Inn. We have it every year, always the second Saturday in January.
Your headquarters is here for that chapter?
Well, yes, we have our meetings here and stuff before the dinner and stuff. Yes, it's based out of Wentz.
Are you passing your techniques on to your sons and nephews and?
Well, I hope so. Hopefully someday they can see and have as much fun as I am in doing it. I look forward to it every year. Like I said, my son is going to be 3 now in a couple days here, and I just had another little one, so hopefully someday they'll be able to get in here and help people out as much as, I like helping them out.
You're going to make sure they have a spear in their hand by their time. Oh, yeah. 10 or 11.
The first one that we had, he was out there when he was 10 months old, spear, and I showed you a picture before of him with the sturgeon. He was out there. I had him out there this year again. He was in a shanty a couple times, took him out with the snowmobile and got in a shanty, and he's looking down the hole. He thinks it's pretty cool seeing the shad come swimming through a net. So I'm sure he's hooked already.
Good. Is there anything you want to finish with?
That should be it.
Well, what kind of a menu you have here at Wentz?
A very good menu. Got all kinds of favorites that people like. We have our, you know, barbecue ribs and that we're famous for, and our perch, obviously, we're famous for. We have deep fried lobster. I mean, prime rib on Saturday nights. We have a variety of things, sandwiches and soups, homemade soups, and so need people to come out and try it if they haven't already.
Perch fish is still a specialty Friday night?
Friday night fish. We do serve it 7 days a week in the summer. We're open 7 days. We have the perch every day of the week.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.